no claims, that all improved those towns. So they saw a pretty good discount, you know, pretty good rate decrease. So they saw a really good drop in premium. For an example, also when you look at the village of Wayland, theirs went down because we had the Wayland Fire District under the village's umbrella, if you will. The district is separate, has its own insurance, so we pulled them out, which lowered that village of Wayland's allocation pretty good. So that's where that came from. And again, the other towns, it's just a combination of the budget, experience mod. Then we looked at the remaining towns and decided that given the world situation, that keeping things flat would make sense. They wouldn't have an increase this year. I think it looks good for them. They can plan on that. Some towns went down a little bit. Some can count on the fact it's not going up. Out of those towns, there are six or seven that we're going to be looking at that need to come up. They need to get closer to that 15% below retail. That's our goal and project for next year, to look at those individually again, making sure we get those closer to that number. When you look at the county, obviously the county went down by $584,000 in premium. We really, if the Steuben County went to the market right now for retail, we would pay somewhere around 1.1, 1.2 million for workers' comp. This year it's 1.5. So we're paying more than we should, and we're working on trying to get that number down that makes better sense and closer to where we need to be. And that was our goal when we changed this whole plan formula back in the beginning, is to get the county work down closer to where we need to be and get everybody else at that same level. So I don't know if I answered questions or caused more, but
can we ask the participants to get into the safety programs?
So what we do is part of the, you know, throughout the year between PERMA, between what we do, we put all types of safety you know, programs together. They're encouraged, most of them, actually all of them attend them, send their guys, they participate in that. PERMA does a great job going out on the street, getting these towns, visiting them all, making sure they're doing what they're supposed to do, because that all helps. I mean, you know, Chris and I look at this every month. Our claims are very, very low. Doesn't mean tomorrow something could happen, but you know, right now we're in great shape. And I think it's training is really probably the underlying reason for it. So
yeah, I know Highway puts on a whole bunch of different training sessions.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Chainsaws on up and down,
equipment,
so on.
Yep.
I didn't know if the other participants took advantage of that.
They do. Yep. Yes, they do. And we're always looking to add more too. So you know, anytime that we find something that makes sense, we get it out to the towns and participants so they can be involved with that. So.
Thank you. Anything else?
Does the Village of Bath include the fire department?
Village of Bath includes the fire department, yes. Yep. Any other thoughts, questions?
One other question. Do we have any way to communicate what the position of our plan is with non-participating municipalities so they understand that they would be below market if they joined us?
So one of the things that I think it's positive to bring new participants on our plan if it makes sense for us and it makes sense for them. Right now I'm working with the town of Wayland, I'm working with the town of Caton, and a few other towns just to have that conversation, because I think it makes sense from a dollar standpoint. It makes sense to them from keeping premiums relatively level, all of what it means to be part of the county plan. There's a few that we keep bouncing heads and trying to get involved a little bit more, and maybe at some point that'll happen. But I think it's positive we had more, right, Tammy? We go back and forth on that all the time. So yeah, I know Tammy would like it just to be Steuben County and everything else. But yeah. Any other questions?
Thanks, Scott.
Yeah, you're welcome.
So, a large motion to approve the 2021 workers' compensation budget and portion of the schedule. So moved. Motion.
Second.
Any other questions? If not, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Thanks.
Thank you.
Next, we have Mrs. Brenda Scotchman.
I have to remember every time I try and sign my name.
Yeah.
Jen and the Ethics Board and I have been working on a rewrite of our local law, which I sent to you, or actually it's attached to the agenda. Did anybody have any questions or concerns, comments?
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
So the one section that the ethics members serve only 2 3-year terms, which is being removed from that. It was a cross out, wasn't it?
It was supposed to be, and I must have missed that. Mine says each member shall serve a term of 3 years and may be reappointed without term limitation.
Well, that does remove the term limits.
Correct.
Well, yeah.
Right. So is that part of the Article 18 requirements?
No.
So
no.
What's the reason behind that?
The original local law removed the term limits because we were having issues finding people to serve. So I took this a draft of one from Sullivan County, because they are also a charter county with a county manager. So I use that as a draft. They put a limit on theirs. They also have their members. They have 5 members and they require political appointees, which I don't believe they're supposed to allow under if they're a charter county.
Okay. So our new proposed ethics law will allow those members to serve in perpetuity unless they drop off for some reason.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great. And my only other suggestion was once this gets put into action, if it's proved that you have the financial disclosure in there and just the year date on it. 1990.
In the new law or the old law? You had the old. That was the old law.
I didn't copy
up that part. Okay. The new law actually allows the, because there's things in there that we'd like to change every now and then. Like the current law requires a social security number. Well, I don't want to be responsible for filing that information. So we wanted to remove that, which we had removed it. But the new law allows the ethics board to promulgate the financial disclosure to suit the county's needs. Okay.
When I was reading it, I was saying that I understand the change board membership and appointment to reflect requirements under Article 18. So I read that and I'm like, okay, I get that. The ability of the board to investigate potential violations without a formal request, and then links ethics and employee disciplines if there's an ethics violation. So I don't understand where that is within the.
Okay, so in section 4 under investigation of alleged violations, it basically where it is, and we spoke to Nate about this, and Nate, feel free to chime in if you so choose. So it says that, I guess it is penalties for offenses. So it basically in section B says that a county official or county employee may also be reprimanded, suspended, or removed from office or employment subject to the provisions of civil service law or any collective bargaining unit. Or agreement.
Okay.
That's where it ties in.
So it's, yeah, I was thinking when you said it would give you like more teeth or like, more authority. It's like,
we can't fire people, but we can recommend.
Okay.
And the tie-in where it gives it a little bit more teeth is now that the board, once they become aware that there might be a potential violation, just in the regular course of business, we can implement, or we can start an investigation versus waiting until somebody wants to report it. Even though I might know about it, can't take any action about it.
But now you can.
But now we could investigate, yes.
All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Who's out of the ethics board?
Myself, Mitch Alger, and Joe Rumsey.
So other counties have five, we only have three.
And that is because it's hard to find people to serve. And we had to chicken wing the other two members.
Anything else? We need a motion to amend.
I'll make a motion to amend.
Second.
I'll second.
Anything else? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Now, along that line, one of the other pet projects that I've been working on with Jen is the codification of local laws and a review of the charter. Because doing the codification, which is required by the state, I had to go through all of our local laws, and then I had to make sure that they were actually included in parts of our charter. Because once you put the codification together, depending on if it's a codified or uncodified law, it determines whether or not it gets included. So I do have the codification done. It's 120 pages. Yeah, it's not fun. But what it ended up doing is giving me all of these changes to the chart, which I did do, and Jen's in the process of reviewing that right now. But what I found out was we can't really review changes to the charter unless the legislature gives us permission to do so. I actually need a resolution authorizing, if you guys would allow, giving me and the county attorney and the county manager authorization to review any potential changes that we would need to make to the charter. Once that's all together, it's a mandatory referendum, so it won't be going on in the ballot until next year because we're way past the deadline. But and the codification will actually become an appendix to. I found out we can make it an appendix to the administrative code, so that we don't have to go through and do that. But it will also be a local law, an annual local law. So you'll adopt your local laws and then we'll amend the appendix. But then at the end of the year, we have to pass another local law and file that with the state, because that's the actual state laws that we have to file a codification with them annually.
Even if we don't change.
Correct.
We do that with the admin code every 2 years as well by state law. You guys in January adopted.
It's a motion to
authorize us to review the charter. That would be, yeah.
Second question.
You said that we authorize the review of the administrative code or the charter.
The charter.
Mm-hmm. Charter.
And you sit out there and go through that process. Do you bring that back to this legislature for approval before it goes on the ballot?
Yes.
Yeah. I want to make sure that.
Yes. Yes, it'll be a local law subject to mandatory referendum.
Right now.
Yeah, we'll just throw it up. We got a motion for second.
I would suggest that we get a couple months to look at that.
Oh, yeah. It's ready to be, it's pretty close to being sent already.
At least have time to review it.
Yeah. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Anybody else?
Just one quick informational. Been working with the chairman on the DMV appointments. Have to give a lot of credit to Sue Kramer. She's on the phone. They have worked in Scottsdale for obviously great reasons, pushing us to, you know, maximize the number of appointments that we can do. And it looks like for many of the things, the non-real ID and most others can be 15-minute appointments. That wasn't an easy task on the online system. Sue thought in talking with the company that it would just be hit a button, everything goes into 15 minutes, and then it opens up the schedule. Well, she and a couple of her staff over the weekend and yesterday had to actually manually change everyone's appointments that had already been scheduled to 15 minutes. So they put in a heck of a lot of work to open up those slots. So much appreciated to them.
Yeah, I think that'll make things a little quicker anyways, and still only doubling it now.
And I agree. I think Sue's done a great job in being flexible. I mean, no one expected this kind of scenario that they had to deal with. And with Judy out for knee surgery, she's done a very good job stepping up and working with Jack on making changes. I pushed them to put in drop boxes because they had one here in Bath, but they didn't have one in Cornell and Corning.
Right.
And I've had more people in the Corning areas say it's simple. You just drop your stuff off, and a couple of days later, the license plates show up. So, I mean, it's working.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to see us increase the frequency of people that could actually come in for stuff. Because a lot of people have questions. They don't want to turn in paperwork without getting their questions answered, and they can't get in through a phone call. So allowing them to make an appointment and come in and just ask questions.
And it'll help our staff too, because Sue reported that the Dropbox is being heavily used, but there's stacks like this at each office where people forgot something or something like that.
Yeah.
So not that it doesn't prevent someone from having to make two trips anyhow, but at least they're not waiting as long. So
is this the new norm, or are we ever going to get back to the
scene? I hope so, but the state knows what they're doing. In this case, because they get more revenue if our transactions are reduced, they get more revenue because people do more stuff online. So we keep pushing on the control room calls about, you know, when can we have walk-ins, and that's one of the things that's, you know, holding up from fully opening the buildings to public walk-ins is we don't want that crush of people coming in and having to get turned away from DMV. So it's a challenge. I mean, we were hoping that it'd be this week, next week, but still haven't heard.
Any word on changes on these phases? Like, we stopped at phase 4, but some of the local business owners, particularly restaurants, are asking, will they ever get to a higher capacity than the 50%? And
they're going to be individually decided. Based on everything I'm hearing, I would not expect anytime soon to have restaurants be more than 50% indoor. And, you know, we still keep pushing virtually every day on the date for the gyms, the movie theaters, the bowling alleys. Since the malls were open, we figured that those other ones would come in. We heard Friday that they're making movement on fitness centers, but
no pun intended.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
What about our workforce? What are we doing, anything different?
We're back to, we're still allowing, if people get 100% of their function done teleworking, we're still allowing that. Otherwise, everyone's back on site.
So what are we talking about?
In terms of, I haven't done the actual calculations based on, you know, what we're seeing in here, and maybe 15% teleworking. Probably actually less if you factor in no one from DP, you know, Public Works and those others are, so. Not a significant amount, but enough to help us reduce the capacity. And your DSS is the primary, where people are DSS and community services, where people are teleworking a little more than the other departments.
Attorneys.
Well, and yeah, that's a function of court.
It's still Skype.
Yeah.
So court's not being held. Yeah. So that, I mean, it's just as easy to do that from home as it is to sit in your office and add a body to the building for reason.
Right. Is there any movement, given the situation and trying to telework and whatnot, to speeding up the process for expanding high-speed internet in areas that don't have it?
Yeah, so we have applied for that USDA grant that we talked about. So that application went in, still waiting, and who knows what's happening with the feds right now with their review. The Fujitsu study is still going on. Not at a point for, you know, I can certainly share you any of the working documents that you'd like, but there right now, we had a meeting last week to review potential business models that STN or whatever organization ran it would operate under. So, you know, I'm hoping that, you know, if there is another round of stimulus, which it looks like there's going to be, and state funding gets opened up. I mean, I think everyone recognizes, especially the discussion of what's happening with schools and kind of the nebulous position that they're in, that rural broadband is super important. So,
thank you.
Is there any state or federal laws that can make these companies speed things up?
So the state regulatory authorities,
people know it's very hard to get on and to get hooked up. And
the state regulatory authorities can. I'm not aware of a federal. I mean, I guess FCC could do something, but really it's Public Service Commission could. But again, you know, the spectrums, charters, and those are going to say, well, we don't have funding to do it. Give us funding and we'll expand it. So
do we know what companies are already expanding the service? I notice in my area they're running cable.
Mm-hmm.
They do poles where they don't have electric poles to hook to.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm just wondering.
I know Charter was running some in your area, mm-hmm. as part of their agreement to expand. They were just taking where they sort of were, just spiring mm-hmm. off mm-hmm. of. They're not running down, but we're also hearing that they're not, you know, really installing drops to a lot of places. So, you know, people will still have to pay for the connection back to wherever the fiber is, but they meet the requirement. Armstrong is doing a heck of a lot down in the southern portion. They're building out a ton. Those are the two big builds that I'm aware of.
Anything else for Chad?
Nope.
If not, then we'll entertain a motion to go on executive session. Personnel matters.
A vote.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, can you wait while I kick people out?
Brenda?
Yeah, if you'd like, sure.
Brenda?
Yeah.
I didn't find an email with the information for the Zoom connection for that.
Because you're just going to stay right on the line.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
I'm doing it different.
Okay.
Zoom's different.
All right.
Let's see. And I'm going to leave. Nate and Jen are good to stay in, right?
Where's Cody?
So we have
the imposter.
All right. Almost. All right, you're good.
You want to buy an interest?
Yeah, so I asked Brian if we could schedule an executive session to talk about how do we recognize the people that busted their butts for the last 3 or 4 months working on this COVID response, the DOC, and it just felt like we needed to do something. And I was thinking from a monetary standpoint, but and then I'll talk to Jack. We'll figure out what he suggests for everybody other than Jack, and then we'll kick Jack out of the room and talk about Jack. Well, Jack suggested, no, we shouldn't be monetary. Because they need some.
Yeah, based on, I mean, the financial circumstance we're in, the economy, everything, not knowing what the federal stimulus will look like, not knowing what, you know, are we going to have to look at layoffs?